Sunday morning, March 7th, we're learning Mishnah, Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Perek Dalid, 4th chapter, Mishnah Vav, the 6th Mishnah. So we're going to read the Mishnah very slowly, and then go on. Mishnah Vav. Ein Pochatin, in the printing of Professor Albeck, it's on page 322, it's the right-hand column at the bottom. Three lines from the bottom of the text. Ein pochatin mi eser malchiot mi asara zichronot mi asara shofarot. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri omer im amar shalosh shalosh mikulan yatsa. Ein mazkirin zichron malchut v'shofar shel poranut. Matril b'Torah, umashlim b'Navi. Rabbi Yossi omer, im hishlim b'Torah yatsa. So now we're going to go back, read it again. The first phrase at the beginning is Ein pochatin, mi eser malchiot, mi eser zichronot, umi asara shofarot. So the first phrase, Ein pochatin, we know the ein means not or don't, it's a negative. And pochatin is the plural of the word pochet. And the word pochet is the same as the word pochot, which means less. So ein pochatin, we don't make less, we don't do less, we don't reduce, we don't limit, we don't go below. We don't go below mi eser malchiot, from 10, right? Me eser, from 10, malchiot. We don't go below 10 malchiot and 10 zichronot and 10 shofarot. And we remember that malchiot, zichronot, and shofarot are the three special additions to the Rosh Hashanah tefillot that are in addition to the special middle bracha in the Shmona Esrei, right? Every holiday has a Shmona Esrei of three standard beginning tefillot, brachot, and three standard ending brachot. In the middle, one special one. Shabbat has its own. Holidays have its own. Rosh Chodesh has its own. But on Rosh Hashanah, in addition to that middle bracha, that seventh bracha, in the middle that special is also Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. And our minhag today is they're only doing Musaf. It might have been different in the time of the Tanaim, but our minhag, it's only Musaf. So this is talking about Musaf for our purposes. So there's you can't have less than 10 Malchiot, can't have less than 10 Zichronot, can't have less than 10 Shofarot. And the obvious question is, 10 what?
Verses.
Verses, right. And that's the answer to the first question on my sheet. What unit or entity do we require at least 10 of?
Pesukim.
Pesukim, right. So we should know that in our Sidur, the way we have it, and it's been this way at least since the 8th century, each of these three units, Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot, are made up of three sections, introduction, verses, and closing. Introduction, verse, and closing. And the closing has a bracha in it. We talked a little bit about the bracha before Purim, 2 weeks ago. It's not clear if they had introductions in the time of Tanaim, but they had verses, which we're talking about, and they also had closings because they had a bracha at the end. But it's not clear if they had the introduction that we have today. And then we go on in the Mishnah.
I guess the implication is that today they're standard verses, but the implication is that they weren't standard.
Right. That's actually the last question on my sheet.
Okay.
That's A12.
Of course, yeah. Come have a seat.
So that's A12 on the question sheet, where I said, what can we learn from our Mishnah vis-a-vis the state of development of the High Holiday Liturgy at the time of the Mishnah? Let me give you the Mishnah.
We can do some of this, but the question is, can you sit down?
We're in this Mishnah.
All right, thank you.
So that's the case, right? There was a halacha, you had to have malchios v'chunot and shofarot, but it was totally up to the shliach tzibur, or to the individual person who's davening, assuming there was individual davening, that's not clear, could have been his only shliach tzibur, it was up to the individual to make it up as he goes along. So he has a lot of flexibility, but he can't go less than 10 malchiot, 10 zichronot, and 10 shofarot, which of course implies he can do more. Right? If he can think of 12 sukkim, or 13 or 15 for any of these, then that's fine. See, we have a rule, we can't have more than two people listening at one time, so we came close to God.
I'll take a second. So we just started reading this. We read this Mishnah, and we're translating the first sentence, and noted that it is commenting about the Rosh Hashanah Musaf.
Okay.
Yeah, and that there's a great flexibility given to the Shliach Tzibur, and someone has to leave.
we'll make an exception.
It's your turn.
I joke that when you upgrade, we're only allowed two at the table at once.
Okay. Yeah. So the shliach tzibur has a creative license to bring whichever psukim he wants for malchiyot, zichronot, and shofarot. He can't do less than 10 psukim for each of them, respectively, says the Mishnah. And then Rabbi Yochanan ben Nori says, in the second line of the Mishnah, the second word, which is the second to last line on our page, he says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nori Omer, Im amar shalosh shalosh mikulan yatsa. Right? If he said three of each, mikulan, of all, and clearly of all means of malchiyot, zichronot, and shofarot, yatsa. And it's pretty clear that what that means is that Melchiot requires three, and Zichronot requires three, and Shofarot requires three. And if he said three means three respectively. That's saying the number twice. Three. Now it's three of each. Three respectively. Yatsa. And remember that Yatsa is a shortened form of what Hebrew expression? Yatsa. Literally just means went. Oh. Left, right. But what is the full expression to say shortened form of? Remember? Yatsa yedei chova. Yatsa yedei chova. Went forth of the hands of his obligation, literally. Mm. Fulfilled his obligation. So the Tanakhama says 10, 10, 10, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nori says 3, 3, 3. But it's not so simple, because, and this goes to the third question I have, the second question we talked about already. The second question was the fact that Melchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot have not only verses, but they have beginnings and endings, they have openings and closings. But the third question was, are the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri respectively talking lechatchila or b'diavad? So do you know those terms?
Mm-hmm.
So lechatchila and b'diavad, what's the answer? Let's start. The simple part of it, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is certainly talking what? B'diavad or lechatchila?
B'diavad.
B'diavad. Like whenever you use the term yatsa, that's b'diavad. Because it means, if you did something, you fulfilled your obligation. It doesn't say what you should do. It says what
you
did. The reaction of the halacha is, if you did. It's in the past tense. So if you did 3, 3, 3, says Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri yatsa. B'diavad, it fulfills the obligation. It might not be the right thing to do. It might not be the best thing to do. It might not be anything that anyone likes you to do. But if you did it, then we'll let you off the hook. And you fulfilled your obligation, which means you don't have to go back and do it again. But it doesn't mean necessarily you did the right thing. Whereas the language of the Tanakhama is a language of lehatchila. Ein pochatin, you shouldn't do less from 10, 10, 10, means this is what you're supposed to do lahatchila, at the outset. Before you did anything, I'm telling you, you can't do less than 10. 15 is good, 12 is good, 11 is good, 10 is good, less than that is no good. Lechatchila, it's what you should do. What will a Tanakhama say if you did less than 10? It doesn't say. It just says you should not do that. But if you did, will the Tanakhama say yatsa or lo yatsa? We don't know. And the same thing goes from the opposite perspective of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. We know what his bidiavad is, but we don't know what his latchila is. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri might hold that latchila is supposed to do 15, or perhaps 7, or perhaps 9. We don't know. All we have here is a funny situation. We have latchila of the Tanakhama, and we have bidiavad of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, but we don't know what the bidiavad of the Tanakhama is, or the latchila of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Now the editor of the Mishnah, it seems, is telling us that you don't have to know the other stuff. We want to know the final halakha. This is the latchila and this is bidiyavad. And there's no machloket between them. They're talking about apples and oranges. So it seems. We'll see later that really the Mishnah is quoting parts of different sources. That really the Tanakhama did have his special bidiyavad, but it's not mentioned. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri had his special lahatchila, but it's not mentioned. Okay. Next. Oh, by the way, why would Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri say 3 is the minimum number of verses? What could be the significance of 3? If we're talking with verses from the Tanakh.
Well, we said, yeah, because you, one from each right. of the sections of the Tanakh.
Yeah, one from each section, right?
Which is sort of like what we have now. I mean,
right.
3, 3, and 4,
right.
I think.
Right, right. So he's probably saying, one from column A, one from column B, one from column C. There's only 3 columns. Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim. That would make sense. Okay. And then the Mishnah says, and this is the last line of the Mishnah, the second word line in our printing of Albek, Ein mazkirin zichron malchut v'shofar shel poranut. We don't mention zichron or malchut or shofar of poranut, of tribulations. We say only good things and not bad things. Notice that here, the word shel is written as a prefix to the word poranut, whereas in the way we know Hebrew today, shel is a separate word.
Here it's printed as a separate word.
Right. So that's because Albeck tries to print the Mishnah as it's found in the most reliable manuscripts, whereas that's probably printed from a manuscript that's quote-unquote corrected. In other words, when copyists who are used to Biblical Hebrew would read a manuscript of the Mishnah, which is written in Mishnaic Hebrew, and in Mishnaic Hebrew, shel is a prefix, but in Biblical Hebrew, shel is a separate word, so copyists who didn't understand that in Mishnaic Hebrew, shel is a prefix, they would separate it, thinking that we have to correct it, but they're really making it worse. Because Mishnaic Hebrew has its own grammatical rules, and according to them, shel is a prefix. Is it important? No, it's not really important, but good to know the truth. Okay. Next. Matchil b'Torah u'mashlim b'Navi. Which literally means start with the Torah and mashlim, language of shalom, of shalem, of completed, full, and completed with the Navi. So, whether we're talking about the Tanakhama who says you latchila have 10 verses, whether we're talking about Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri who says minimum of 3, the halacha says you start with Torah and you end with Navi, which means in the middle you have Ketuvim. That seems to be pretty clear. So if it was 3 altogether, it's 1, 1, 1. If it's 10 altogether, then it could be 3, 3, 4, or 4, 3, 4, whatever it's going to be. But you we're told that the order is not what we would expect. Right? We'd expect Torah, Nevi'im, Tuvim. That's the way it's in the Tanakh. Here it's changed from Torah, Ketuvim, Nevi'im, which is interesting. But the truth is, it makes sense. And we could actually go through the Machzor and see why it makes sense. But in order to save time, perhaps I'll just tell you that in most cases, not all cases, but in most cases, the verses from the Nevi'im are prophecies. They're talking about the future. Whereas verses from the Torah and verses from the Ketuvim are usually descriptive. In other words, they're talking about the past or the present. So it could be the reason we end with the Nevi is because we end with hope, we end with future. We're in a historical progression of past, present, and future. Whether we're talking about God's kingship, whether we're talking about Zichronot, God's providence, when we're talking about Shofarot, which might be talking about redemption, we're talking about past redemption, past kingship, and present, then we're talking in the end about future. That's why Nevi might be last. Okay. And then Rabbi Yossi Omer, Im Hishlim B'Torah Yatsa. If he finished with the Torah, Yatsa. It's interesting. Just like in the first part of the Mishnah, we had a Latchila and then a B'diavad from two separate rabbis. The same thing here. We have a Latchila that says you're supposed to do Torah, Tuvim Nevim. Then we have Rabbi Yossi, a different rabbi, giving us a b'diavad, that if you were mashlim b'torah, that's okay, yatsa. But I don't really know what it means, if you were mashlim b'torah. Does it mean that you began with Torah, like the Tanakhama said, and then you went to Ketubim, and then you went to Nevi'im, and then you add at the end the 10th verse of Torah, that's what it means, yatsa? It doesn't mean you changed the whole order completely. Does it mean you went from Nevi'im to Ketuvim the Torah, or Nevi'im Ketuvim Nevi'im the Torah? Not clear. It's not clear what Rabbi Yossi means when he says Im Yishlim b'Torah Yatsa.
Why doesn't it mean that if one just did Torah and didn't do Nevi'im Ketuvim?
Because the word Mashlim couldn't mean that. Mashlim means to complete, and completion
so
has to come after
again,
something
else. What exactly was this quote? If you lashlim b'Torah, okay. So if you if you did the whole thing and ended with Torah, the lashlim is implying the whole thing.
Well, we know what the whole thing is, but if you did something and then you did at the end mashlim, you did at the end, you completed with.
Okay.
But by the way, sorry. There's the last
the top line.
Last three words in the top line: imshlim b'Torah yatsa.
Why couldn't Allah Ashlim be just have done three b'Torah?
Because that's what Mashlim means. That's not what it means. Lashlim is certainly means to add at the end, to complete with, to conclude with. Right. So let's see.
We just remind us. I mean, I have a vague idea. Maybe we do that. Do we add? We do 3-3 and.
Right. So our custom today is 3-3-3-1 Torah, Ketuvim, Nevi'im, Torah.
Okay. But from the Torah at the very end.
But does that mean we're following Rabbi Yossi? It's not clear what Rabbi Yossi meant. In any case, Rabbi Yossi was only talking b'diavad. Yeah. Okay.
So it's a little hard. We haven't seen something that says do it the way we do it.
Right. We haven't seen something that says specifically do it the way we do it. We certainly have not seen that. Yeah, I'm just looking at my question sheet. Why don't we look at question four? The problem is I don't remember what the answer is to four and five. So, 4 says, what appears a bit anomalous in the statement, Ein mazkirin zichron malchut v'shofar shel poranut. We don't mention zichron malchut and shofar poranut. That is in the last line of the first column, right, page 322, which says, we don't mention a zichron, a malchut, and a shofar that say bad things, poranut, of suffering. We only look for verses that talk about good things. So what's anomalous or inconsistent? The truth is there's two things that are anomalous or inconsistent in that statement, comparing it to the first line of the Mishnah. Comparing it to the first line of the Mishnah. I'll give you a minute to think about that. Not getting anywhere.
No.
I'm just pointing out that in the first line of the Mishnah, it says Malchiot, and then Zichronot, and then Shofrot in that order, which is our order to get today. Malchiot, the kingship verses, and then the Zichronot, the providence verses, God remembers, and then the Shofrot verses, the verses that talk about Shofar. Whereas for some reason, in the last line of this column, page 322 of the Mishnah, the order is changed. It says Zichron, Malchut, and Shofar. And I wonder why the order is changed. It says we don't mention verses of Zichron, Malchut, and Shofar of suffering. So that obviously should cause us to take notice of this and ask why it changed the order, and actually have a certain answer. That's just a theory. My theory might be that, of course, the correct order is Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. That's the way the Mishnah has it here. That's in our Machzor. That's the way it's always mentioned in that order. Why is it changed here when it says we don't mention verses of suffering, of punishment, of Zichron, Malchut, and Shofar? Well, my answer is, I think this is correct, the reason we put Zichron first is because that's the place you're most likely to find verses of Poranut. This is in Zichron. And it's true. When we say God remembers, it's quite often God remembers what people have done evil to punish them. That's the place you're liable to fall into the trap of choosing verses that deal with Poranut, is in Zichronot. It's much, much less likely to find such verses in kingship, and much, much less likely in Shofar. Verses that mention God's kingship and God's shofar blowing usually don't talk about God punishing, but the opposite, God's kingship to save, and God's blowing the shofar to save, but to reveal himself. But as far as Zichron, then there are verses of Poranut that we want to avoid. I think that's right. Yeah. Okay. Let's see, what else?
Is that one answer? Did you just give one or two examples?
I didn't give any examples.
He gave one example of an answer. He said maybe there were two anomalies. Yeah. That's what
Paul's trying to ask. Oh, the anomaly. Yes, the other anomaly that I should... the other anomaly?
Yes.
The other anomaly... is that in the opening of the Mishnah, Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot is in the plural. Malchiot, not Malchut. In the line we're looking at, in Mazkirin, Zichron, Malchut, and Shofar, of Poranut, it's in the singular. But that can also be explained. The first line of the Mishnah says, we don't do less than 10 Malchiot, it's in the plural. Our line says, you don't even see a single verse of Poranut, it's in the singular. Okay, so the last thing we can talk about in the Mishnah before we go into the commentators is simply to point out that we just about said this earlier, just to make sure, this matter of 3, 3, 3, and 1 is not any place in our Mishnah. Right? When it says at the bottom, the last word of page 322, and then going to 323, it says, Matril b'Torah mashlim b'Navi. Start with the Torah and end with Navi. So that implies that there's ketubim in the middle, right? That the writing's in the middle. But it doesn't imply anything about how many of each. It could be 1, 8, 1. Right? 1 of Torah, 8 of ketubim, and 1 of Navi. It could be anything. It doesn't say 3, 3, 3, 1. Doesn't say 3, 3, 3, 4. Doesn't say 4, 3, 3. It says nothing. And as we pointed out, what we do today is not any place explicit in the Mishnah. Okay, so with that information, we can now look at some extra sources. So the first one is the Tosefta on Masechet Rosh Hashanah. And the Tosefta says, this is Perek Bet Halacha Yud Bet, Ein Pochatin Me'eser Malchiot U'mi'asara Zichronot U'mi'asara Shofarot. That's the first line of the Tosefta. And it says, we don't pochet, right, we don't do less of 10 malchiot and from 10 zichronot, from 10 shofarot. And that particular sentence of the Tosefta is identical to the first sentence of our Mishnah. Right? Let's just make sure we see that. Right, you can do exactly what David is doing, word by word, with your finger. Ein pochetin, mi eser malchiot, umi asara zichronot, umi asara shofarot. It's word for word. No difference at all. So clearly, our Mishnah and our Tosefta are yun from the same block, to the same thing. There's going to be differences as we go on.
Just remind me, I'm sorry, the Tosefta.
Tosefta, as always in rabbinic literature, you have to distinguish between the chronology of the recension, of the deduction, and the chronology of the material itself. So the Tosefta, as a book, was redacted in the time of the Talmud. But that's irrelevant. The material in it is Tanaitic. In other words, the Tosefta is a collection of Tanaitic material, just like the Mishnah is a collection of Tanaitic material. The Mishnah was redacted in the year 200. Tosefta was redacted hundreds of years later, but that's irrelevant. The material itself is Mishnaic material.
Meaning like Brises.
Right, exactly, exactly. Okay. Tosefta is a collection of Braitot. And in some cases, when you read a Tosefta, you find the Braita from which the Mishnah was extracted. The Mishnah being a distillation or a abbreviation of material in Braitot. Mishnah taking the most concise, the most precise, the most important material to edit, to be learned Baal Peh, to be remembered orally and passed down. They couldn't pass down all the Braitot. It was just too much material to study and to remember. So they redacted some of them into the Mishnah. The Tosefta is much, 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 much longer than the Mishnah. So, reading our Tosefta from the beginning. Ein pochatin. Mi'asa malchiot, mi'asara zichonot, mi'asara shofarot. Im amar sheva mikulan yatsa. And if he said 7 of all yatsa. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's the words of Rabbi Akiva. Ah, so now things start making sense. It turns out that our Mishnah that says you need 10 of each, take it back, that says you shouldn't do less than 10 of each, that's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Boker Tov. I didn't notice that enough. I thought you weren't coming. I met your son on Shabbat, who told me your wife is in Florida.
Right. Yeah.
So I assumed that you wouldn't be able to make it.
Well, yeah, she was able to
get away.
Late, right? Yeah, a little bit.
So, we now know that the author of the Mitzurim Mishnah, the Mitzurim in the first line, is Rabbi Akiva. You know why I'm saying that? Because the Tosefta says the exact same thing word for word, adds something, and then says Divrei Rabbi Akiva. So we know that the beginning of our Mishnah comes from Rabbi Akiva. Now, what did the Tosefta add to what the Mishnah has? The Mishnah gives us the Lahatchila of 10-10-10. The Tosefta adds that Rabbi Akiva, who said Lahatchila is 10-10-10, he has his own Bediavad, which is 7. Yeah?
Is it clear to you that the first in the Tosefta, the first sentence and the second sentence are the same person?
Ah, very good. Very good. I was just about to say that. Okay. But it's not 100% clear. It's likely, as we'll see from the structure of the Tosefta, but it's not completely clear. It could be, you're right, that there's a Tanakama, we don't know who he is, who says 10-10-10. And then Rabbi Akiva says, if you said 7 of all of them, which means of each of them, right, 777, Melchiot, Zichron, Shofarot, Yatza. So we see that the Mishnah didn't bring down this B'dievid idea of 7. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now we go on in the Tosefta to the second line of Tosefta, the second word. And the second word of Tosefta begins Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Okay? Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, Ein Pachot Misheva. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, you don't do less than 7. Im Amar Shalosh Mikulan Yatza. And if he said 3 of each, Yatza. So now we have the following. The Tosefta says, do 10 of each, but if you did 7, Yatza. That's Rabbi Akiva. Then Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, do 7 of each, but if you did 3 of each, yatsa. So you have 4 different opinions. 10, 7, 7, 3. Right? And what does the Mishnah bring? It brings the first and the last. In other words, the Mishnah gives us the extreme variables. That the best is to have 10, the worst you can get by with is 3. Whereas the Tosefta had given us all the possibilities in the middle. 10, you can get by with 7. 7, you can get by with 3. The Mishnah leaves out the middle variables and just gives the extremes. Which means that the best thing is to do 10, but worst comes to worst. If you did 3, yatsa. So that really, I think, is beautifully illustrative of how the Mishnah works in relationship to the Tosefta. It's bringing us what really I have to know.
And what's in the Tosefta would be Bidiyavad?
It depends. The Tosefta has, you should do 10 Lhatkhila, but Bidiyavad, 7 is okay. That's Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, Lhatkhila, don't do less than 7, but if you did 3, Bidiyavad, Yatsa. So it's Latchila B'diavad, Latchila B'diavad. And because of that structure, that's why I'm assuming that the first line is also Rabbi Akiva. Just, that seems to be the structure. Not proven.
To me, there's also an interesting, what made its way into the Mishnah, mm-hmm. to me also is a comment about the redactor's attitude about stringency. In other words, he's taken the most lenient of mm-hmm. the Kedavid mm-hmm. mm-hmm. positions. Mm-hmm. Whereas some people over the centuries try to take the most stringent of all the positions. Mm-hmm. But this is revealing an attitude about that of saying, if there's a legitimate authority that says this is good enough, even if it's less than mm-hmm. other people, mm-hmm. that is...
Well, in one case, you can't make a legal theory from one case, right? And there might be good reason for it, like we said, one from Torah, one from Ketuvim, and one from Nevi'im.
I think your point is really very good. And I think that
it's off the subject, and I apologize, but I think it's important that in context of when this stuff was written, it was written 200 years after the temple was destroyed, and the community was really in flux. And like you say, they had to come up with, I think what you're implying, they had to come up with something to get everybody on the same way, whether it be maximum or minimum. And I think in that kind of context, it makes more sense. They had to make sure that there was some kind of continuity, and they didn't count if it was extreme or if it was moderate. Is that fair?
Again, you can't build a literary, you can't build a legal theory from one case.
But you can start.
Okay.
You can take it as an example and see if it fits other places.
Okay. Okay. So the Tosefta continues.
Can I say, and just to sort of take what you said a slightly step further, the Mishnah then, in some sense, satisfies everybody. The group that says they want it, you have to say more. So we said you have to say as much as anybody says.
You should say that. You have to say you should say.
You should say as much. We're far that. We're stringent. We're trying to enforce that. You're right. Mm-hmm. And for those who want to be more lenient, we've also accommodated that school of thought and try and make everybody happy.
But within a group framework. Like you said, there's in the Tosefta, they talk about three different groups. You can be 10, you can be 7, or 3. But you can be pick one, but you have to be within a group. Uh-huh. You can't just say, okay, I choose to do one.
Okay, like you have to, there are established minhagim. All right, I forgot to say that, actually. There are those who point out that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nur and Rabbi Akiva might be representing different geographical areas in Eretz Yisrael, right? And they're simply bringing down the custom of their place.
Right.
And then the mission has to bring them together.
Well, Rabbi Akiva came from a very liberal area. It was very mixed. It was Caesarea. It was very
Rabbi
liberal.
Rabbi Akiva?
He lived in Caesarea. He was very liberal at his time. There were communities that were way off the edge of the...
Rabbi Akiva wasn't in Caesarea.
Yes, he was. Am I making a mistake? Where was he killed?
Rabbi Abahu is
where was
known
Akiva,
to be.
Where was Rabbi Akiva killed?
Where was he killed? Where was he killed? I'm not sure if I know where he is killed. You're talking about the depiction of him being killed.
Rabbi Akiva. What's the town of Or Akiva named after?
I'm not sure.
Rabbi Akiva.
We have Rabbi Akiva in Lud. We have him in Bnei Brak. I don't remember.
Oh, you don't know which one? Okay, I assume this was the one from the first century. From the
it is.
Zero century.
It is.
He was Caesarea. He was the chief rabbi of Caesarea.
Okay, I can look it up.
And there were communities around there that were really off the edge. They were very problematic. And that's part of his job, was to bring them back.
Okay, I can certainly look it up. That shouldn't be a problem. So, going on in the Mishnah, in the Tosefta, excuse me, we're in the third line, the fourth word. I shouldn't skip. Let's go to the end of the second line, last four words of the second line. Ein mazkirin zichron u'malchut v'shofar shel poronut. We don't mention zichron, malchut, and shofar of poronut, of trials and tribulations, which is exactly what the Mishnah says. So again, we see that the Tzeft and the Mishnah are actually the same literary text, and the Mishnah is simply a abbreviation of what we find in the Tosefta. And then the Tosefta says, Matchil b'Torah u'mashlim b'Navi. Begin with Torah and end with Navi, which again is word for word what the Mishnah says. Word for word. And the Mishnah is the last word of page 322 and the first three words of page 323. And then the Tosefta says Rabbi Yosa Omer, and the Mishnah says Rabbi Yossi Omer. It's the same person. Yosa and Yossi is the same person. And then there's something else in the Tosefta that I skipped. I didn't bring it for you. I didn't want to complicate things, but it's a different subject. And it goes on to say, it's still Rabbi Yosa speaking in the Tosefta, after the three dots, Hamatchil, matchil b'shel Torah, misayen b'shel Torah, v'omer shel nevi'im v'shaktuvim be'emtza. He who begins with of Torah, and Misayim and ends with Av Torah and says Nevi'im and Ketuvim in the middle. And then it goes on to say, Ein Omri Malchiot Im Hazichonot Velo Zichonot Im Shofarot. And it's something that's not found in our Mishnah. We're going to skip it. So what have we discovered now? We've discovered that in the Tosefta, Rabbi Yossi, who's Rabbi Yossi, tells us to do what we do today in our Machzorim, which is begin with Torah and end with Torah and say Nevi'im and Ketuvim in the middle. Right, that's what the Tosefta says. Whereas our Mishnah doesn't contain that opinion. That's pretty funny that what we do today is exactly what the editor of the Mishnah deleted and didn't bring down. All the editor of the Mishnah brought down was Rabbi Yossi's B'diavad statement, not his Latrila statement, right? In the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi's B'diavad, Im Hishlim B'Torah Yatzah, at the very, very end of our Mishnah, if he completed with Torah, Yatzah. But that's B'diavad. We don't know what Rabbi Yossi has us doing Latrila. Whereas in the Tosefta, Rabbi Yossi tells us what to do lahatchila, to begin with Torah and end with Torah and put in Nevi'im Ketuvim in the middle, which again is what we do today. Yeah. So that's pretty interesting. But it's more than interesting. Actually, in a certain sense, the Tosefta and the Mishnah, although until now we've seen them being from the same text and the Mishnah simply being an abbreviation of the Tosefta, now we see a contradiction. Because if in the Tosefta, Rabbi Yossi says you should do Torah first and Torah last, in the middle put in Nevi'im Ketuvim, you should, led lahatchila. If that's true, then he couldn't say what the Mishnah says he says. What does the Mishnah say he says? It says, if you completed with Torah Yatzah, it sounds like you're not supposed to end with Torah. But if you did, Yatzah. Whereas in the Tosefta he says, you're supposed to end with Torah. So at this point we have really a machloket between the Tosefta and the Mishnah. What did Rabbi Yossi hold? Right? Which means we might have a problem with a girsah, a problem with a text that's corrupt. It means either we have a corrupt text or that someone misremembered what Rabbi Yossi held and the Tosefta recorded in one way and the Mishnah recorded in another way. One of them is wrong. Rabbi Yossi didn't say two contradictory things unless he changed his mind. It's also possible. But we're waiting for the Gemara now to come and say its word. Okay, so now we're going to bring the Talmud Bavli. Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Bet Amud Bet. Here we go. Matchil b'Torah u'mashlim b'Navi. Let's just remember where we remember that from. Right? That's our Mishnah. It's the last word of page 322 and the first three words of page 323. Matchil b'Torah u'mashlim b'Navi. It's a quote from the Mishnah. I'm still in the Talmud. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Im Yishlim B'Torah Yatzah. Rabbi Yossi says, if he ended with Torah, Yatzah. So that's a quote from the Mishnah. And now the Gemara is going to talk about it. Okay? So now we're focusing on the Gemara, on the Talmud. See what it says. And the Talmud says as follows. Im Yishlim, it's quoting those two words from the words of Rabbi Yossi, Im Yishlim, if you completed, if you concluded, and points out the Talmud, b'diavad in l'hatchila lo, b'diavad yes, l'hatchila no. In other words, if Rabbi Yossi used the language of im hishlim, if he completed, that means he's saying b'diavad is talking, l'hatchila he's not talking. It's just pointing out that he's talking in language of b'diavad. And then the Talmud brings another source of Rabbi Yossi that says differently. Vahatanyan, behold, we learned in a Braita, quote, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hamashlim b'Torah hareza mishubach. He who completes with Torah, behold, he's praiseworthy. It's a new source we haven't seen yet. But it says, but it's just like our bright in the sense that it's a latchila, saying a good thing to do is to end with Torah. It's not a bidiyavad, it's a latchila. You with me? So we have a problem, says the Gemara, that in a brayta we've never seen before, the brayta that greets Dr. Sefta, Rabbi Yus.
I just need some cups
of that. So I don't have the key with me, I can tell you where it is.
Okay. Is Rabbi Myers not there?
He is, yes.
Okay,
so we have a brayta brought by the Talmud that's similar to our Tosefta, similar in the sense that Rabbi Yossi in these two sources is saying that lahatchila you should end with Torah, and that contradicts our Mishnah that says that if you ended with Torah, it's okay. So now the Gemara is going to try and figure out what's going on. And it says, Ema Mashlim. Ema means I say Mashlim. In other words, what it's trying to do is, the Mishnah said, Im Hishlim, if he completed. The Talmud is saying, let's read it as Mashlim, he should complete. Not that if he did it, it's okay, but Mashlim, that's what he's supposed to do, Mashlim the Torah. But then, the Talmud says, you can't do that, that's not what it says. And I'm quoting that from the Talmud, the last four words of the line. Vaha, and behold, quote, Im Hishlim, Ketani, it said. Now it says Im Hishlim, don't tell me it means Mashlim. It says Im, if. Now it's clearly language of B'diavad, which the Talmud now goes on to state clearly at the beginning of the third line. B'diavad in Latchila. Oh, B'diavad, yes, that's what it's talking about. Latchila, no, that's not what it's talking about. So in other words, all it's doing now is reinforcing our clear understanding that there's a contradiction between two different records of what Rabbi Yossi held. The Mishnah says he was talking about Torah, ending with Torah as a bidiyavad, and the Braita says that it's a lahatchila. Okay? And now the Talmud is going to do something that it only does when it has its back to the wall. And it says, Hachi Kamar. Thusly it means. And in this particular case, it's going to change the text of the Mishnah, because there's no choice. And there's a big machloket in all cases in which the Talmud does it, is it's doing it only on the basis of spara, or does it have some type of textual tradition? But on the face of it, it's spara. Right, the brayta said, Rabbi Yossi says, ending with Torah is latchila, the Mishnah says it's bediavad, and there's no way to reconcile them, and the Gemara decides that Mishnah text must be corrupt. And it's going to change the Mishnah text to the following. Hachi kamar, thusly it says, quote, Matchil b'Torah umashlim b'Navi. Rabbi Yossi omer, mashlim b'Torah. V'mishlim b'Navi yatsa. We're going to have to do now is put one finger in what I just read and one finger on the Mishnah and see what the Talmud does to the text of the Mishnah. So remember, the text of the Mishnah, I'm putting my finger on the Mishnah, and it's the fourth word at the top of 323. Rabbi Yossi Omer, imishlim b'Torah yatsa. So it clearly says, Rabbi Yossi said, if he completed with Torah yatsa, language of B'diavad. Now what does the Talmud do to that? Beginning with the words Hachi Kamar, thusly it says. Right, the third line, the middle of the third line of the Tosefta, after the words Hachi Kamar. Matchil b'Torah umashlim b'Navi. It adds an opinion not found in the Mishnah, claiming this is what the Mishnah meant. Begin with Torah. Umashlim b'Navi. Right. I'm sorry, I said something not completely wrong. Not completely right. It's saying those words, Matchil b'Torah, Mashlim b'Navi, in the Gemara. It's quoting them from a few words earlier in the Mishnah. Right. Put your finger on the Mishnah, the last word of the previous column, 322. Matchil b'Torah, Mashlim b'Navi.
That's all the same.
That's all the same. It's all the time. Matchil b'Torah, mashlim b'Navi. It says it both in the Talmud and in the Mishnah. Good morning. And then Rabbi Yossi Omer, right? Rabbi Yossi Omer is found in both places, both the Talmud and the... With me? Okay. Mm-hmm. You got to learn with that, or do you want something?
No, I'm just... I was, yes.
Okay, so you can look forward to it. Perhaps you want to repossess my car or something?
That's it.
The advice you gave me with my car was wonderful.
Good.
I went to the dealer and they made me new keys and they worked.
$8?
$7, I think. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so we're just quoting now the Mishnah word for word. We began quoting from the bottom of 322, right? Matril, but Torah, Mashlim ben Avi, Rabbi Yossi Omer. But now, what does Rabbi Yossi say? In the Mishnah, it's Im Hishlim b'Torah Yatsa, language of B'diavad. In the Talmud, it's Mashlim b'Torah. You should, la'atrila, Mashlim b'Torah, Vim Hishlim ben Avi Yatsa. And if you were Mashlim ben Avi Yatsa. So let's just think a second of what it's doing. It's clear in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yossi is talking about Torah, but being Mashlim b'Torah, and he's using language of B'diavad. What the Gemara does, it says, yes, you're right, he's talking B'diavad. And you're right, he's talking about Mashlim b'Torah. But they're not connected. They're parts of two separate sentences. That the language of B'diavad, Im Hishlim, was talking about Navi. And the language of Torah was talking about Lahatchila. Again, Rabbi Yossi used four words, Im Hishlim b'Torah Yatsa, and the Talmud says those four words are not one sentence. They're phrases from two separate sentences. The matter of Torah, Hishlim b'Torah, was a Lahatchila, and the matter of Im, if, and then Yatsa was talking about a B'dievet, of not about Torah, but about Navi. Perhaps you want to take a minute to process that?
It's a complicated fix.
Extremely. Yeah. He does better work. Right? It's like, you know, I said...
Well, why would he mix...
It's like saying, right, I had oranges for breakfast, and it's saying, well, when you said I had for breakfast, that was talking about apples. When you said oranges, that was for lunch.
Right.
That's what it's doing. Good example, huh? So how could the Gemara do such a thing? It has us back to the wall. So does that justify? That's a question for legal theorists. And there's a lot written about structures like this in the Talmud. What right and what possibility does the Talmud have to do such a thing? But it does it.
So it's not just saying there's some alternative reading this way. It's saying it must have been this way in order to generate these.
So that's what it looks like.
Maybe at the time that was very clear.
You don't know what you're talking about.
No, I'm just saying what you're saying. I know what I'm going to do.
Look, there are many cases in which the Talmud has Rabbi X saying one thing in a bright, another thing in the Mishnah. It says we have a machloket between the students. What did he say? Mm-hmm. The fact that it doesn't do that here might mean it does have some type of tradition to base itself on. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
Would they be doing a documentary hypothesis kind of fix where to say, well, given this and given that, there must have been some, you know, either some text or some tradition that we just don't have, but we can, you know, hypothetically recreate.
It could be. I don't know. And from what I've read, no one really knows.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. You know.
They certainly had an issue that they had to solve.
Mm-hmm. They had an issue they had to solve.
And it was it had a practical implication on the community that they were addressing.
Yeah. But again, it could have solved it simply by saying we have a machloket between Rabbi Yossi's students. Of what he said. And such things are not unknown.
So it could have been just a theoretical exercise in a classroom. And not practical implication.
Well, it does have practical application here, because we're asking ourselves, is there an opinion, is there a legitimate opinion that says mashlim b'torah? In our Mishnah, there's no legitimate opinion that says, there's no opinion that says mashlim b'torah. Mm-hmm. In the Tosefta there is, and we're now putting that opinion into the Mishnah. And remember, that's what we hold by, right? In our Masur, that's what we do. We do the opinion that we're now creating. The opinion found in the Tosefta, not found in the Mishnah, we are putting it into the Mishnah. The Talmud is putting it into the Mishnah, and that's what the Halakha does. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. So this does have practical implications. Usually, if we have machlok between a Tosefta and a Mishnah, we don't follow the Tosefta, we follow the Mishnah. Here, the Halakha follows the Tosefta. Ah, so now, as I'm saying this, it's making sense to me. So if there was a deep-seated minhag to the mashlim b'torah, and our machzor represents that and illustrates that, then that would explain partially why the editors of the Gemara want to read that opinion back into the Mishnah. Because that's what we do. Right? But all this is...
And let's get everybody on the same page. Mm-hmm. They're sort of saying, you know, in terms of...
But again, all this is hypothesis. We don't know what's going on. Okay, but it's certainly fascinating. So, we're now back in the Talmud. And we're in the last line of that second to last paragraph on our page. The last, and it says as follows. Tanya Nami Hachi, which means we learned in a Braita thus also. Let's bring another Braita that corroborates our understanding of Rabbi Yossi as we have just reconstructed it. And it says, Amar Rabbi Elazar ba Rabbi Yossi, said Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Yossi. And the assumption is going to be that Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Yossi, speaks like his father spoke, that a tradition from his father. And it says, Vatikin hayu mashlimim ota b'torah. The ancient ones, the Vatikin, and it usually implies those who do things properly, like today we talk about Vatikin, is, you know, davening with the Nates.
Yeah.
Oh, I just spoke incorrect Hebrew. Davening with the Hanetz. Hanetz is part of the root. The hay is part of the root. The Vatikin used to mashlim it with Torah. So you see here that the proper way to do things, according to Rabbi Yossi's son, is to mashlim b'Torah. It's not just a b'diavat to mashlim b'Torah. It's the proper thing to do. And if we have a braita like that, that it's good to be mashlim with Torah. We have Rabbi Yossi saying in the Braita, we have his son saying in the Braita, and the Mishnah says something different in his name, well, it's two against one. So we amended the Mishnah to read like the two other sources. Okay. Good? Good. Okay. Next paragraph in the Gemara. Bishlama zichonot b'shofarot ikatuva, which means bishlama means it works out well, it fits, it makes sense. Zichonot and shofarot ikatuva. Ika means yesh, there is, and tuva means a lot. So it says it works out well with zichron and shofarot. There are a lot. There's enough verses to find 10 of each. Ela malchiot talat hu dehavyan. But Melchiot, three it is that there are. Dehavyan means that there are. And Havyan is a form of Hoveh or Haya or Yeyeh. There is. So three there. In other words, Melchiot, if you search through the whole Torah, you can only find three. So let's think now. So what if you only find three verses in the Torah? So what?
You can't do three and then one at the end.
You can't do three. Right. So the assumption seems to be that when we said you should do 10, 10, 10, and if you add to that mashlim b'torah, the assumption seems to be 3, 3, 3, and 1. It's not written anywhere. That seems to be the assumption.
And if that's the assumption, you need four Torah verses to talk about Malchut, and there aren't. Search through the whole Torah, the word kingship is mentioned only three times in the whole Torah, vis-a-vis God. I mean, there are kings, right? So what are we going to do? And then it brings the examples. And examples are one verse from Bamidbar, Hashem Elokavi Mo Tuat Melech Bo. Another verse from Dvarim Lamed Gimel, and it uses the plus signs instead of parentheses. That's the way this program I use works. Vayu Bishurun Melech, there was a king in Yeshurun. And then a verse from Shmot, Hashem Yimelch Le'olam Vayed, God will reign forever. There's only three verses in the whole Torah that talk about God as king. V'anan ba'in eser, but we need 10. When it says we need 10, it means we need 3, 3, 3, and 1, which is 4. When it says 3, when it says we need 10, it means we need 4. And Rashi makes that clear. Right. V'leka. Leka means there aren't. We need 10, there aren't. To be more exact, we need 4 and there aren't. So, next line, Amar Rav Huna. Said Rav Huna, Tashma, come in here. And he brings you more verses from the Torah that can be construed, not explicitly, but implicitly, as talking about God as king. And the verse it brings is Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Malchut. That's Malchut. What do you mean that's Malchut? There's no word Malchut there. But we're assuming that the word one means sovereignty, exclusive sovereignty. Right? So that's Malchut. Divrei Rabbi Yossi. So claims Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Eina Malchut. Rabbi Yossi says that's Malchut. Shema Yisrael is Malchut. Rabbi Yehuda says, no it's not. Eina Malchut, it's not Malchut. So here everything's coming together. Rabbi Yossi is forced, as it were. If Rabbi Yossi holds 3, 3, 3, and 1, which means you need 4 from the Torah, for Malchiyot Zichronot B'Shofarot, Rabbi Yossi is forced to compromise in what Malchut is and say the Shema Yisrael fits in the category. Rabbi Yehuda, I assume, doesn't hold you need 3, 3, 3, and 1, because he holds you can have 3, 3, and 4. You can have just 4 from Tubim or 4 from the Nevi'im. You don't need 4 from Torah. So he's not forced to take the position that forces one to find 4 from the Torah. So he just says it's not Malchut. Shema Yisrael is not Malchut.
This seems to reinforce the Talmud's interpretation of what Rabbi Yossi really held, doesn't it? Because if he didn't hold that you had to end with Torah, need a fourth verse, he wouldn't be struggling here.
Good idea. That's right. 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 Good. Good. Although you could say that we're just trying to find a way for a scenario that b'diavad you can be mashlim b'Torah, right? So that's the first verse that you can use as malchut if you hold you need 4 from Torah, and then it says it brings the verse Dvarim in chapter Dalid, v'yadata hayom v'heshevota elavavecha ki Hashem hu Elohim, that God, right? You should know today and put it in your heart that God is the Lord. Eino, there's none other. Malchut. That's Malchut. It says God is the only Lord. That's kingship. Next page, or the back of your page. That's the Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Eina Malchut. Right? Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I'm not giving in. Right? If it doesn't say Malchut, it's not Malchut. Next. Ata horet ladat ki Hashem hu Elokim. Einod. Right, you have been shown to know that God is the Lord. There's none other, excluding Him, Milvado. Malchut, that's Malchut. Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yudomer Eina Malchut. So there are three possible verses that talk about God's unity and exclusive sovereignty without saying king. Rabbi Yossi says they're good for kingship, and I assume that everyone else, represented by Rabbi Yehuda, says they're not good for kingship. And as far as how do we hold in our Machzor? We say the verse from Shema as the last verse to make 4 from Torah for Malchut.
But assumedly, a Shalich Tzibur in Rabbi Yossi's Beit Knesset could have used two other verses to be Mashlim B'Torah. Right? It's open, it's flexible. But we chose the first of those three. Yeah. So the halacha in the end ends up being like Rabbi Yossi, the Rabbi Yossi that wasn't even explicit in the Mishnah, except after the emendation. Okay. And we could, at the end, look at one more issue, which is what I have here in the middle of this back of the page. There's a quote from the Talmud Bavli, a quote from the Talmud Yerushalmi, and a quote from the Rambam. Okay, here we go. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, Im Amal Shalosh Shalosh Mikulan Yatzar. And that's a quote from our Mishnah, word for word. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, if he said three of each, Yatzar fulfilled his obligation, right? That's the Bidiyavad. And according to our Mishnah, you need 10, 10, 10. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, if you did three of each, three Malchiot, three Zichronot, three Shofarot, Yetzach. Fine. The Gemara asks a question about that. It was asked of them, Hachi Katani. Does it say thusly? Shalosh min Torah, Shalosh min Anevim, Shalosh min Aktuvim, Dehavi Tesha, Vika Beinayu Chada. Is that true? Which means, did Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said you should have three from the Torah, three from the Nevi'im, and three from the Ketuvim in each of the three Malchiyot, Zichronot, Shofarot, so that all together you have nine of each? Is that what he meant? So that the machloket between him and the Tanakam is only one verse? 9 or 10. Is that what he meant? The answer is no, that's not what he meant, right? He meant three Malchiyot, three Zichronot, three Shofarot. He didn't mean three Torah, three Nevi'im, three Ketuvim for each.
Only three in each.
He meant only three in each, not nine. When he said three, he meant three, he didn't mean nine. But the Gemara wants to figure out exactly what he meant. So it says, did he mean nine or Dilma? Oh, Dilma, going back. Or did he mean just, we know that he meant, which is three Malchiyot, three Zichronot, three Shofarot, oh, Dilma. Last five words of the second line. Echad min Torah, echad min Nevi'im, echad min Ketuvim. One of Torah, one of Nevi'im, one of Ketuvim. The Havyan lehu shalosh, that it is to it three. Vika beinayu tuva, and there is among them much. So there's a big machloket, if so, between the Tanakama. Not a machloket, but just a difference between Latchila and Bediyavad. Latchila is 10, 10, 10, and Bediyavad is shalosh, shalosh, shalosh. So that's the Gemara's question, and the answer it gives, we don't have to go through the whole answer, the answer is that you're right, he meant 333 and not 999. The reason I brought this is not what we just read, it's to see the fact that the Yerushalmi understands it differently. The Yerushalmi says something quite radical. The Yerushalmi says, right, the Talmud Yerushalmi, says Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, Im Amran Shalosh Yatza. It's quoting the Mishnah. If he said them three Yatza. So it has a different girsa than we have in the Mishnah. Our Mishnah has Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri saying, Im Amar Shalosh Shalosh Mikulan Yatza. He said three of each. Yatza, which is very clear. Three Malchiot, three Zichronot, three Shofarot. And that's the conclusion the Talmud came to, that's what he meant. That's what we've always assumed he meant. But the Yerushalmi has a different version in the Mishnah that's not so clear. All the Mishnah in the version of the Talmud Yerushalmi says is, if he said three, Yatza. But then you start wondering, wait a second, three of what? He didn't say three respectively of each, he said three. And says the Yerushalmi on that, Havinan Savrin, we would have thought, Meimar to say, Shalosh mikol echad vechad, three from each of each.
which is, again, what we know is true. That's what we would have thought. But the language is not 100% clear, says the Yerushalmi. But we would have thought it would mean three respectively. Three Malchiot, three Zichonot, three Shofarot. But then it says...
Wait, this Shalosh Mekol Achar V'Achad, is it three from each?
Well,
I mean, the question is, when it says of each, do three of each, does that mean three for each of the topics?
Right.
Or three from each of the sources? Which,
right,
which
exactly.
thing are you asking for? That's the confusion.
Right, right. And just look at the last few words, which will get us right to the point you're making. Vashkachat Tani, and we found the Braita, Ashkachatani, we found the Braita, Afilu Shalosh Mikolan Yatsa. Even three of all of them Yatsa. Now what does that mean? I want to put on the table that we're actually talking about three different possibilities. The truth is, as we've always understood it, is that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri meant in Zichronot, minimum of three verses. In Shofarot, minimum of three verses. And in Malchiot,
three verses.
The Talmud said, yes, that's true, but it brought up a possibility that he meant much more than that. He meant in Malchiot, three Torah, three Nevi'im, three Ketuvim, altogether nine. And he meant that for all, for Malchiot, Zichron, and Shofarot. But now we have a third possibility on the table of what he meant. Is that when he said, if you said three Yatzah, he meant all together. All the verses of Zichronot, all Shofarot, all Malchiot, Zichron, and Shofarot, three altogether, which means just one for each. One verse for Malchiot, one for Zichronot, one for Shofarot.
Just three.
Just three. That seems to be what they tell, that might be what the Yerushalmi is now putting on the table. Why do I mention this? Because that's what the Rambam's psak is. Let's look at the Rambam. Says the Rambam. And with this we'll end. Malchiot v'zichronot v'shofarot ma'akvot zo. They hold each other back. If you didn't do one, you didn't fulfill the obligation of the other. It's not three separate obligations. Tzrich lomar mikol bracha mihen asra psukim mi'ena bracha. You have to say in each bracha of them 10 verses of the essence of the bracha. There have to be 10 verses that talk about Shofarot, 10 that talk about Malchiot, 10 that talk about Zichronot. Shlosha psukim in a Torah, 3 verses from the Torah, u'shlosha mitilim, and 3 verses from Tilim, that's the Ketuvim, and 3 from the Nevi'im, and 3 of the Nevi'im. V'chad min Torah mashlimbo, and one of Torah you mashlim, right? 3, 3, 3, and one Torah, tovim, nevim, and then mashlim. V'mishlim b'navi yatsa, but if he ended with navi yatsa, which is something we saw in the Gemara, and then he says v'im amar pasuk echad min Torah. Wait, did I make a mistake? Pesuk echad min haTorah, ve'echad min haKetuvim, ve'echad min haNeviim, yatsa.
So, this is one of each.
Mm-hmm. So, then what did I get? What I said earlier? I've
gotten
myself mixed up.
This is what you said earlier.
Yes. Is it?
Yeah.
One of each.
No, I thought you were saying before that if you said a total of three.
Yeah. No. Amiram got me right. I said something much more radical, and I think I apparently was wrong then. Right? I was wrong.
This, can you tell us what this says clearly? The, and if Omer said...
If he said one verse from Torah, and one verse from Ketuvim, and one verse from Nevi'im, yatsa.
Just like Ben Nuri in the Yerushalmi.
Okay, I got myself confused. This is 9, 3... 9, and that's what it is. 3:3:3, right. Mm-hmm. Right, so the question is, and I guess I made a mistake in preparing this, the Rambam is not clear. Is the Rambam saying what the Bavli says, that for each of the three, Malchiyot, Zichronot, Veshofrot, you have to have one verse from each? Or is the Rambam saying something even more radical? What I claim the Yerushalmi might be saying is that all together, from Malchiyot, Zichronot, Veshofrot, you only need three verses all together. Just as long as one is from Torah, one is from Nevin, one is Tuvim. And now nothing is clear to me.
The Rambam is saying, I thought minimally, he says you need one of each. So you have one from each of the three sources for is said for each of the three sections.
Okay.
But that last part,
yeah.
We question whether it's perfectly clear. But is it for each section? He's clear saying one of verse from each source is enough. But is it clear that's applicable to each of the three topics?
It says Yatsar, isn't it?
I admit that the simple reading of the Rambam is that it's simple. It's just like the Mishnah says. And I admit now that I'm making up...
Trying to stretch him too far.
It's too much of a stretch. It's not me. It's one of the commentators I read, but I didn't realize how much a stretch it was when I read it. Uh-huh. Yeah, I think the pshat of the Rambam is simply that he says you have to say, for each of the three...
Each three topics.
At least one verse. But he's not saying...
Each of the three topics, you have to say one verse from each source.
Right. That seems what the Rambam is saying, which means that to bring the Yerushalmi into this is irrelevant. It was too late at night when I prepared the end of the sheet, I think. Let's just give it one more minute of thought.
Unless you are reading the Yerushalmi too broadly, and the Yerushalmi is saying the same thing...
As the Bavli, could be. Yeah. Imamash Rosh Avyan Seven Lamash Shalosh Mikol Echad Echad Shkachatani Yafilu Shalosh Mikulan. The Yerushalmi clearly has two possibilities. And if there are two possibilities, one of them, the Yerushalmi, is that you just need all together, and all the verses you need all together, just three verses. The Yerushalmi does seem to have that possibility. The question is, does the Rambam say that? I don't think the Rambam says that, but the Yerushalmi does bring up that possibility.
How do you know that that's three for the entire, you know, group of things you're saying?
The reason I know that from Yerushalmi is the Yerushalmi has a safek, has a doubt, right? Mm-hmm. Is it X or is it Y?
Okay.
And what is X and what is Y in Yerushalmi? Well, of the two possibilities, X and Y, one of them is that you have to say three verses for each of the three things, altogether nine. What is the other possibility that Yerushalmi brings up? It could only be three altogether and not more. That's all it could be. There's no other possibility. Mm-hmm.
Can we just translate those words?
Of course, in Yerushalmi?
Yeah.
Translating doesn't help. So anyway, what it says is... Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, if they said three... Yatsa. Mm-hmm. Period. We would have thought to say three of each. Period. We found the Braita, quote, afilu, even three of all Yatsa. So this Braita they found, they claim says something different than what we thought to say. We thought to say that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri meant three of each, which is what we always thought he meant. But then they found a brayta that says something else. What could the something else be? The only words are even three of each.
Could you?
And the three of each it means three all together from all.
Could it,
all together, just what, three verses, all told.
Why couldn't this last statement be three from Nevi'im, you know, for one case, three from.
So you're going back with the Bavli said.
Well, why can't this second opinion be that?
In other words, it's really nine.
Right, but it's really nine, but the verses for each of the three sections can be from any source or all from one source. Mm. You don't have to have, you know, Torah, Nevi'im, Tuvim. Can't you read it that way?
No, but then explain to me again. Explain to me what you're saying again.
So this last opinion, could that not be possibly so three from the Nevi'im for section one, three from you know, from the Torah for section two, and three for, you know, from Ketuvim for section three.
Oh yeah, yeah, and to repeat that, that's true for Malchiot, true for Zichronot, and
yes.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought you meant. So that's what the Bavli, it's the second pasuk in the Bavli.
But so this is.
You're talking about.
Yeah, but right. But I'm saying here,
could they be
saying that you don't not a total of three statements, but nine statements. But giving you more flexibility as to where you draw the three statements from.
What would the flexibility be?
That you could, it doesn't matter whether you get them all from the Torah or all from the Nevi'im or all from the Ketuvim.
But then how do you get to nine? Like, say, because if it's all from the Torah.
You can, how do you get to nine? Because you're going to say three statements for each section. But it doesn't matter what of the three sources
you
get your statements.
When you say nine, or I said nine, mm-hmm. trying to interpret you, do you mean all together when you add it up, Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot?
Yes.
Oh, okay, then I misunderstood you. I have to start again trying to understand what you're saying. So then you're saying now quantitatively, mm-hmm. the second opinion that the Yerushalmi brings is not different than the first opinion.
Right.
From where the sources are.
Yes.
I think you're saying.
Yes. So then, right.
No, but that's impossible.
Why?
Because. I'm not gonna speak so quickly. Imamar shalosh yetsah and shalosh mikol echad vechad.
Then why would it say, you would have thought?
Well, there are two possibilities. What I would have thought, and now what I think.
He's saying there's two possibilities. One, this is two different. He's coming up with a different possibility.
But Abimam, you're saying that the difference between what I would have thought and what I think now is in a subject that's not mentioned at all here,
right.
Which is the differentiation between Torah and Nevi'im Ketuvim. But that's not at all mentioned.
Not mentioned in the.
In the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is only talking about numbers, not about quality.
Well, doesn't it say? I mean, it's we would have thought. Three from each of them, meaning
we would have thought three from each.
Malkus.
Meaning three from each of the sources.
I thought it was Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot.
But that's not from something, is it? Or maybe I'm.
That's the way we've been using the word from in all our.
Okay.
But does it have to be that way? And can it instead be from each source? I mean, I don't know what the rest of the context is from this.
Look, the Yerushalmi is notoriously unclear across the board. Mm-hmm. It's not a very well-edited text. It just flashes of insight. I guess anything could be.
Because, see, if you read it that way, then it would fit
yeah.
Rambam.
Okay, I want to end now, actually, because we have a meeting with someone. I don't know. I'm sorry that I got myself into this without giving enough thought to it.
Very complicated. What's it?